Seek once again the help of the Lord. I'd like you to turn with me to the chapter that we read together, Proverbs 22. And the text you'll find in verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. We live in a generation that seeks to overthrow everything that God has given to us. We live in a generation that wants to destroy marriage, that wants to destroy children, that wants to destroy everything that God has set forth as the mandate for a family life. As we want, as Christians, as we grow up in this crooked and twisted generation, it's very easy for us to become influenced by the things that are round about us. It's very easy for our Christian principles to be eroded by the environment that we live and begin to question the Word of God. And as we are constantly pressured with statistics and science and great minds, then it begins to water down and erode the truth of the Word of God. We know that the truth of God's Word is unchanging. We know that it is a timeless word. It is God who has instituted marriage. It is God who has set up the standard for what marriage is between a man and a woman. It is God that has said that it is only within marriage that children are to be born. And it is only within that frame that that a person or a couple can rightly bring up children. And so we have round about us that constant erosion of the truth of the Word of God. And as believers, it's always beneficial to come back to the Scriptures. What does the Scripture say? It's the Lord that gives us children. It's the Lord that forms the child in the womb of the mother. It's the Lord that gives life. How is it then that we are to raise our children in a day that is so against the family, which is so against discipline, which is so against God? As we look at the carnal mind, the Bible tells us that the carnal mind is enmity against God. That those who are outside of Christ are part of the kingdom of Satan. They are part of the kingdom of darkness. They may have some good things to say, but the core of their understanding is warped. They don't understand what truly goes on within the heart of a child. They don't understand the true corruption that has taken place in the frame of that child. And so Solomon, as he's given the wisdom from God to pen these proverbs, it is like the mandate for how to raise our children in a godly way. That the Lord has set down in the unchanging, unaltering word how we are to raise our children. Having children is a great blessing and gift from God. Some are in married life, some are allowed and given that blessing. Others, the Lord closes the womb and they are not permitted to have children, but they are given another course of life. Their life is steered in another way. But those that are blessed with children are given great responsibility to raise those children in the knowledge and admonition of the Lord. That we're not to be swayed by the influence from outside, but we're to come to the Scriptures. What does the Scripture say? What has God said about me raising these children? It is the Lord that has opened the womb. It is the Lord that has given the child. Now, therefore, how does the Lord want me to raise this child? Solomon has this wisdom laid out upon on the Scriptures, yet although he wrote it all, yet how far short he fell, how far he erred from the own truth that he wrote. In chapter 1 it tells us the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel, to understand the proverb and the interpretation of the words of the wise and the dark and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy neck and chains about thy neck. And so Solomon sought to set forth what was wise. He understood that in the heart of his children was this foolishness, that they went forth from the womb speaking lies. They were estranged from the womb. They were born into the kingdom of darkness with a tendency and to sin, to go away from the truths of the Scriptures. And so he sought to set forth this truth, to declare that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. If we look at the world, what do they say? That this book is old fashioned. It is not up to modern day's standards. It's not up to a modern day way of raising children. It is old foolishness. And yet the Scripture says that the wisdom of God is there for the raising of children, and that the outside, those in the kingdom of darkness, are the ones that are foolish. And so the Scripture tells us, it gives us the root cause of the problems that we have when raising children, when living in a marriage relationship. It is sin. Sin is the root cause. Sin is the foolishness that is bound up in the heart of a child. Those who've had anything to do with children will know very, very, very well that you don't have to teach a child to be bad. You don't have to teach them to steal, for they will do it. You don't have to teach them to lie. You don't have to teach them to deceive. You don't have to teach them anger. You don't have to teach them obedience. Disobedience, it's all there, bound up in their heart already. They come forth from the womb with a sinful nature. The world tells us that children, by their nature, they are good. And it is only by their environment that they are in that they then learn to be bad. Now that may be the case in some sense, that the environment that the child is in may cause them to be worse than what they actually are. They may learn more and more and more evil, especially if they are brought up under ungodly parents. That their foolishness is knit together with the foolishness of their parents. And so they go forth and they continue in that spiral of deception, that spiral of the kingdom of darkness. And for Christian parents to understand that their children come forth from the womb speaking lies, that within their heart it is bound up this foolishness. It is essential for us to understand that, so that we know how to deal with the problems that we face. That children have to be disciplined. Children have to be given boundaries. Children have to be dealt with. The Bible tells us that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so as the Lord blesses the marriage union and he gives children, yet these children that come, they are sinful. They are sinful. By their nature, they will go away from God. By their nature, they will rebel against their parents. By their nature, they will go against God. And so our work is to steer them in the right direction. Although we cannot instill in them grace, we cannot transform their heart, we can raise them in the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. We can raise them to know the Lord, to set them, as it were, on the right tracks, instill in them the word of God, to teach them the scriptures, that the Lord can take the word that has been sown in their heart and bring it to fruit, to manifestation, that he can bring that child to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the root of the problem is that this foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. Solomon goes on to say, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. We are told in this land that corporal punishment, that the physical discipline of children, it doesn't do them any good. It makes them more violent. It causes them to manifest greater evidences of anger. But the Bible tells us that it is right to discipline children. But we have to look first to God. There are those that have taken these portions of the scripture and they've said that it is right for you to use the rod upon your child, that it's right for you to beat your children. But the Bible tells us that the Christian has a heart that is changed, that is to look to his loving Heavenly Father and see how his loving Heavenly Father deals with him. And then he is to manifest that same love and that same discipline upon his children. And there may be times when you have to deal with the child in a more harsh way. But that is no excuse for dealing with your children, abusing them or acting rashly or in anger. Explosive outbursts of anger and abusing the child. If you think of David, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He was not afraid of the rod, but he felt that the rod was something needful and essential for him. As he looked at the shepherd, as he saw why the shepherd used the rod, it was for the good of those sheep, for the bringing back of those sheep, for the correction of those sheep. And so David, as he looked at the Lord and he saw him disciplining and correcting him, using that rod, So here the psalmist also has that same attitude, that the rod wasn't something to be feared, but the rod was to be used as a means of correction, that the punishment that was instilled was to be painful, but in the way that it would bring a benefit to the child that it was administered to. The correction was to drive away foolishness. When we deal with our children, in whatever way we choose to discipline them, our desire is that they don't do what they have done again. There is a purpose in the discipline. It's not done for our own pleasure. It's not done because we want to feel good that we have this, we are greater than our children. It is done in love and care and compassion, willing that the child will learn from that discipline. We know that we cannot drive sin out of them. You know, there has been people who beat their children senseless in the hope that they would drive sin out of them. But that can't be the case. It is totally impossible for the rod to drive sin out, for discipline to drive sin out. But it's to bring that child to the awareness that sin has consequences, that their bad behaviour, their rebellion against their parents has a consequence, pointing them to a higher authority where that parent has that authority from, which is God. It's to cause them to learn to respect those who are over them. We look at society today in general, there is a disregard for authority. People hate the word of submission. They hate the word of submission. They hate marriage, that the woman is subject to her husband, that children are under the authority of their parents. No one can tell me what to do. It's my life. I can do what I want. They hate that authority, that order that God has put. They won't submit to God. They won't submit to their parents. They won't submit to the teachers. They won't submit to the authorities. But the Lord has placed this order in society for the benefit of the children. That He is the one that has given children. And He requires that those parents raise those children in the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. They are our children. But those children have been given to us by God. If we go outside of the security, we could say, of family life, we go into the world and you see there broken homes. You see young people living immoral lives. You see girls falling pregnant outside of marriage. You see abortion and being used as a contraception. You see the moral decline of society because of the way of which God's order has been eroded away. It is God who gives children, even to those who commit fornication. And those children that are born outside of marriage and born into ungodly families, that are raised without the fear of the Lord, those parents are accountable to God for how they have raised those children. And we are also accountable to God as to how we raise our children. We're to understand that they have come from God, and that we are raising them for the Lord, and that one day they will go back to God. For He is the Father of all spirits. He is the one that gives life and the one that takes life. He is the one that puts the soul within that body and the one that will take that soul at the end of that person's life. And so they will, that child that is born, that the blessed little baby that is given to us that we cherish, will one day stand before a holy God and give an account of how they have lived. And if they can come back, if we don't really know how it will be that day, but if they come back and say, look, my parents, they raised me outside of Christ. They raised me outside of the scriptures. I had no understanding of God. The great responsibility that there is in parenthood, the great responsibility that there is in being a father, in being a mother, to live a godly example and to instruct those children in the fear of the Lord. Look at Eli. Now, Eli, what did he do? He failed to discipline his children. He failed to correct them. He was weak when he should have been strong. And he permitted his sons to continue on in sin. And he was judged. His family was cut off from the Levitical priesthood. It's a solemn responsibility. Being a father, being a mother, but we have the Word of God here to help us. We have the church here to help us in this difficult day in which we are living. If you remember Hannah, the Lord had closed up her womb and she was suffering abuse from the fellow wife, and she prayed to the Lord, and the Lord gave her a child. And she says this: for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. So she came to the Lord and she said, Lord, give me a man child. Please hear my cry. And the Lord answered and opened up her womb, and she's given a child. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent unto the Lord. She gave back what the Lord had given to her. The Lord heard her cry, gave her a child, as she gave that child back to the Lord. Surely that's how we all need to pray. That the Lord gives, and our desire is to give that child back to him. The task, or as Moses says, the thing that is too hard for thee, bring it unto me. Raising children in this generation is a hard thing to do, and you cannot do it alone. The Lord has given a husband and wife. The Lord has given grandparents and great-grandparents, but he's also given himself and his word. The thing that's too hard for you, bring it to me and I will deal with it. Hannah says, the child that you've given to me, I give him back to you. In Psalm 127, it tells us there, lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. That heritage is that which belongs to. That the Lord gives these children. They belong to him, and he gives them into our care to raise them for his honor and for his glory. And he's given us these guidelines by which we are to raise these children. Train up the child in the way that they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, there is that mindset today of that you ignore the wrong, ignore the bad of the child, and just reward the good. But the scripture tells us that he that spares his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him often. The desire of God for the children is not to ignore their sinfulness, but to point out their sinfulness and correct their sinfulness. Not that you, as I said, beat them into salvation, but to correct them and to cause them to understand that there are boundaries, that there are authorities given, and that we deal with them as the Lord deals with us. Our desire is not with hatred, but it is love. To love and to correct them. And foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. There's such a responsibility then of parenthood. And as we seek to raise our children, we come to the Lord asking for that help to be given to us, and to look to the Lord for the correct way of disciplining and correcting them. Jesus says that when you pray our Father which art in heaven. That in the Lord Jesus Christ, the believer is able to approach God as his heavenly Father. Because Christ has received the greater stroke, the greater rod there upon the cross at Calvary in dealing with the sins of his people, that those who are adopted into the family of God can approach the Holy Father with reverence and godly fear and commune with him. And as we come to him, he deals also with us. But the same God who dealt with the children of Israel for their sin, he did not take pleasure in their discipline, but he had to deal with them after their warnings from the prophets. He took them off into captivity, and other times he dealt with them. But in the Hebrews 12, it tells us there, from verse 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" And so Paul uses this example that God deals with his people and he chastens them as sons. He disciplines them as his own son. He says, What type of father are you who does not use discipline? And so it is laid down as a baseline for Christian families that they are to use a discipline in the lives of their children, not to destroy them or to abuse them, but to discipline them in love as God deals with them. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. But if you be without chastisement, thereof all are partakers, then you are bastards, or you are fatherless, or illegitimate children, and not sons. If you look at the way the Lord deals with his people, he has many rods by which he deals with them. You look at Peter. Peter, after he sinned in denying the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus looked at him. And that was enough to break him, was a look. If you take the nature, the different natures of children, you will notice that some children only need a look. The rod that you administer is a look of disapproval, a look of hurt, a look of sadness at their behavior. And that is enough to deal with that child. You take the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul needed a thorn. Zeptes should be exalted above measure. The Lord has given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. So one was a look and the other is a thorn. But it is all the stroke of a fatherly rod, the good shepherd, the rod and staff that comfort him. And the Lord has many rods by which he deals with his people to bring them under discipline, to drive out the foolishness from our hearts. How easy it is for believers to set our hearts on things, to get idols. And the Lord has to come and to discipline us, to knock that idol off its throne, that he may reign there. How often we become lukewarm, and he has to come and use his rod to bring us back, to reignite that fire and that love within our hearts. He uses a rod. And we've gone distant, and we've grown far from him. We neglect the means of grace. We neglect the scriptures, our prayer. The Lord comes and he brings a rod. He brings us back to himself. What rods does he use? Trials that he brings into our lives. Sicknesses. Pricks of conscience, sorrow, suffering, persecution. He brings these things into our lives as correction. He deals with us as sons. He doesn't allow us to wander off. He doesn't allow us to have idols within our hearts. He doesn't allow us to continue in a lukewarm condition or a distant condition. But he uses means to correct us, to bring us back to himself, to drive the foolishness from our hearts, to give us that true wisdom that comes from above. He uses the school of Christ to cause us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of himself. But every single rod that he uses is held by the hand of a loving heavenly Father. There's our example. If we lose sight of that, if we become something other than a loving heavenly Father or a loving heavenly Mother to our children, then we've gone beyond what the Scripture allows us to do. If we explode in outbursts of anger and strike our children without explaining to them what we are doing, then we have failed. You see, the Lord deals with us and we know why he is dealing with us. He disciplines us and makes us aware of what we have done. He makes us aware that we have an idol. He makes us aware that we are lukewarm. He makes us aware that we are distant. He makes us aware that we've been overcome by sin and fleshly desires. And his whole process of dealing with us is to restore us and to bring us back to himself. And so as we have the mandate there in the book of Proverbs about raising children, that helping us to realize that within their heart, their very being, is this foolishness, is this desire to reject authority and to hate God, that he has given them to us to raise them in his knowledge and fear, to read with them, to pray over them, to live godly lives around them, and to intercede for them, that he would save them by his grace, that they would not be just our children, but we lend them to the Lord, that they would be the Lord's children, that they would be born, to be born again of his Spirit. We don't care if they become presidents or exceedingly wealthy people. What we care about is this, that they come to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and to learn of him, that the God who gave them a soul will take that soul one day to be with him, which is far better. And if we can hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," that we have raised them in his knowledge and fear, we've tried our best to lay the scriptures before them, and then we've done our part. But to be influenced by the world and the ideology that this world has about the destruction of the family, it is for our own peril and for the peril of our children. Come back to the Word. What does the Word say about children? What does the Word say about being a parent? What does the Word say about how our God deals with us? How is the Lord dealing with you today? How is he dealing with me? What has he brought into our life as a means of correction? Why is he bringing this into our life to correct us? What part of our life have we been bound up with foolishness in? What do we need to repent of and turn from? Is the Lord dealing with us as a child? Is he dealing with us? Are we enduring chastening as a child of God? Or is our life without chastisement? Is our life without discipline? Is God just allowing us to do what we want? Well, if he is, then that is just evidence that we are not one of his. His own children he chastens, and he chastens them often. Not to cause them to run away, but to cause them to come to himself, that they may learn from the experiences that they are passing through, that they may learn from the discipline. So foolishness is bound up in our own hearts, but the rod of correction, the discipline of the Lord, will drive it far from us. And may we learn then from our mistakes. May we learn from our foolishness. Learn from our corrections. And may we be enabled to train up our children in the way that they should go. And when that they are old, we will witness that promise that they will not depart from it. For foolishness is bound up in their heart, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Amen.